This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday. Wednesday, March 22nd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today. But I'm here with Aaron Green, who's my co-host for this segment. And we're talking about legacy. We're talking about Linden. And this segment, we are talking about leadership styles of our leaders throughout our period of history, right? And on the other side of the show, Aaron brought up some questions, right? And what I'm going to do is going to have Aaron read that question. I'm hoping she has it right at her thumbs. So we can start the conversation here. I'm saying whether the family of Sir Lyndon owes him and the country a duty of care to create a proper legacy, meaning that they need to have a museum in his honor, and does the government has a duty of care, since they dubbed him the father of the nation, to have a legacy and tributes to him? And is the tributes thus far adequate for someone being dubbed the father of the nation? So that's where our conversation is going to start. And I want to also read this into the record. And let me see if I can bring it up. And Aaron, are you there to read your questions whilst I bring this part up? Aaron is not on. Okay. I shall talk until we get Aaron back online again. Let's see. Recently, the former Prime Minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, criticized the current Prime Minister, Philip Brave Davis, as a weak leader after he expressed support for Education Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin, who spoke out against Royal Caribbean International RCI project on Paradise Island, which was approved by Cabinet. With respects to Glenys or other Cabinet ministers, I have said repeatedly, I have said in Parliament that the Prime Minister... Okay, bring that back up. That the Prime Minister is demonstrating himself to be a weak leader. And I'm going to stop right there and question the strength of leaders. We're comparing all of the leaders, including the Prime Minister, Hubert Ingram, Perry Christie, and of course, Sir Lyndon. And I'm going to raise and scrutinize example of leadership and then have his legacy, of course, continue the conversation with legacy about Sir Lyndon. But Aaron, are you there as yet? Reread the last questions, and then we go back to my point on who was the better leader, compare and contrast, and leadership styles. So that's where we're going to do. And of course, we'll concentrate on Sir Lyndon. Of course, we recognize in his legacy and his birthday today, and of course, the masterclass that they're about to happen on Friday. But go ahead, Aaron.
So these questions are actually questions I hope that are engaged or addressed in some form at the event on Friday night. The first question, did Pindling weaken the education system to preserve his hold on power?
Can I pause there so I can do a commentary, and forgive me for this, right? And this is because I've seen this question posed before, and everyone said, oh, they deconstruct government high school out of selfish reasons, right? But I think it's people just haven't appreciated the history. Government high school, which was at the site of UB, University of the Bahamas, transitioned to become College of the Bahamas, right? So that became the premier institution. It was not that he was deconstructing government high. He realized that there's a need for a higher education, which was COB. So the last persons who was at government high transitioned into COB, and then that's what happened. So I hear the criticism, and the people said, oh, did he diminish the education system? He also gave access to more schools to be opened up, that more Bahamians had access to education. So I just want to say there, but continue with your question. Sorry for that.
But no, this is great. This is what I hope comes up and out, right? I hope that Bahamians who were a part of the civil service at that time joined the conversation on Friday night so that they the public knowledge around Pinling. Another question, did Pinling drag Bahamians into a future the majority of which could not and did not navigate successfully? Did Pinling discourage the playing of Caribbean and African music on the public airwaves, ultimately to preserve his hold on power? Did he actually ban reggae music from the public airwaves? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Was it intended to prioritize Bahamian music and artists or to prevent Bahamians catching the Caribbean revolution bug? And then, is Pinling a victim of slander and global political interference? And was Pinling able to withstand what Ingram didn't or couldn't? The last question to you and to the audience, what are some books, essays, and documentaries about Pinling, the Bahamas, and Bahamian politics from pre-majority rule to the end of the Pinling political dynasty?
Yes, and the goal is to come in. But at a, when we're getting connected, I put it to the listening audience that I wanted to compare leaders, the leadership style, right? And that Hubert Minnis called Davis, Prime Minister Davis, as a weak leader. And I wanted to give examples of how Selinden proven himself to be even greater than everyone else. Because I heard that persons in the Minnis camp said that Minnis fired four ministers at time. I want to put in the record that Carlton Francis was a religious man and pastor, in fact. As they were pursuing gambling, having a casino, right? Carlton Francis was lobbying to have Bahamians banned out of the casinos altogether, being a religious man. And so Linden said that the cabinet has decided that casino license is going to go forth. But because you are publicly voiced out that you disapprove, I have now invited you to step as a minister of my cabinet. I can put you in another position. And of course, he put him as a chairman of a board after that. And I said, now it's proof of strong leadership there. And I would also say that during the MP who was the only sitting MP, and I forget his name, who was charged, right? The only sitting MP who was charged for corruption, right, was under a Pinglin-led government. And Pinglin ensured that the charge was levied and that the entire system gone until the gentleman was found guilty. None of our leaders have actually done anything similar. So this is some heroin, right? We know that...
Pause. Go ahead. Hold on. Pause. Mm-hmm. Remember the Travolta-Bridgewater affair?
Go ahead.
The matter. Let me rephrase that.
Yes.
The Travolta-Bridgewater matter. And it was reported in one of the local papers that Alison Maynard Gibson actually called Hubert Ingram, I think, who was the prime minister at the time, and asked his advice. Right? I think she asked his advice, on what to do. And what he told her was, do what you know you're supposed to do. Do what ought to be done. I thought that was an interesting moment as well.
I found it interesting that she didn't call the sitting prime minister at the time, Perry Christie. But it is what it is. I see we have a caller here, Aaron, as we explore these things and the legacy of Selinden and compare and contrast. And I wonder if you remember the four MPs, ministers, that Hubert Minnis camp is saying that he fired. Do you remember what happened? Because I remember it was about taxes and levying taxes on Bahamians. But then I want you to talk, but I'm going to go to the caller first, and then I just want to warn you beforehand that this is what I want you to comment on after the caller. But producer, yes, patch the caller through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I just want to comment on two of the prime ministers. So Linden, in reference to the GHS, I guess dismantling or watered down GHS. I think it was done basically just as you described, an expansion and the additional, you know, makings of the College of the Bahamas, which is now UB, you know, to expand. And in reference to former Prime Minister Minnis speaking on who is a weak leader, I don't think that gentleman should ever use the word leadership or take that out of his vocabulary, because he will go down in history as the weakest leader we have ever had, and he should have that tattooed on his forehead just because of, I think, one of the things when I think about of leadership is never giving up and holding on until the very end and sticking with your people and through thick and thin. And when you as a leader could not stomach continuing and finishing off a race that you started as the leader, you failed. So you are in no position to speak on anyone coming after you or even before you in reference to stating that you are who is a weak leader. Okay, and one more thing in reference to the case that's pending right now, it's in court right now. He got the information firsthand about the investigation from the Auditor General. First, the lady resigned. He did not take it to the point.
I'm not sure what it is, and I'm uncomfortable.
But I'm just speaking about leadership. What I'm saying is, you know, you're speaking on these different issues and these different cases. He should never use that word leadership or whatever in his vocabulary because of his actions and his record. He has no record to stand on. But you all have a safe and a wonderful day, okay?
Thanks very much. But Erin, do you remember the last question I put the poise to you?
We're looking at the four that
yes.
were fired.
And do you remember that? It was Travis Robinson, it was Reverend McElpine, and it was Reese Shipman for sure. I'm not sure about Vaughn Miller.
So listen, what I'm reading is the four of them voted no. Reese Shipman, yes. Travis Robinson, Vaughn Miller, Frederick McElpine. But the next article I see says that I think only three were fired. So I'm still waiting for confirmation for if and when Reese Shipman was fired.
I remember he was the chairman of Antiquities. I'm not sure how that go. And,
okay, so he wasn't a cabinet minister.
He wasn't a cabinet minister. And yeah, yes. So, but and they have that as a term of a strength for him, that he asked them to resign because they've openly voted for the public. See, that's why I put it. They voted that tax would be burdensome, and the former prime minister didn't see it that way. And there he's saying that he has strength for that. But at the same time, a justice named two of his ministers as doing something odd in terms of the investigation, in terms of the charges for former PLP parliamentarians. And ministers didn't do anything. They weren't fired out of his cabinet, even though the justice or judge ruled that what they did as cabinet ministers was uneasy, right? I'm trying, reason because I don't have the right words. I just want to make it as vague as possible, right? But my point is the justice ruled that this is not something that ministers do, call in persons to their office, etc. But my point is ministers did not, that leadership, what he's saying that he did not come into effect then. So I want to question that, right? But I want to bring that into the narrative. But go ahead.
I don't know if firing ministers makes you a strong leader. Mm-hmm. I think it actually signals the opposite, that you're unable to deal with dissent. You're unable to manage, negotiate and navigate dissent within your party. You are unable to gather and govern opposing polarized positions. I think that's an indicator of weakness, actually.
I have a text here that says, CA, you are 100% wrong. If the government high school transitioned into COB, how is it that government high school still exists? Don't try to rewrite history. It's not a good look, and we need the standards of good journalism. And of course, you know, I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator. But as you know, as we all know, government high school, that's why they separated, the old government high school is located at this present time. The classrooms are still there. We're still using it. we knew that the teachers, the lecturers at the old government high school all transitioned into COB. We know that the students who were at the old government high school all transitioned into COB. So I'm saying that's what happened. It transitioned into COB. And that even though a new government high school, the new term was created, and a new entirely school at a different place down the road, separate and apart, was instituted, that the old government high school transitioned into the College of the Bahamas. And that's why I wanted to point that out. And I'm not rewriting history. That's just what happened. But go ahead, Aaron.
Yes. No, I could only support that, sir.
Okay.
I can only support that. But yeah, this the question of leadership styles, right?
Yes.
I almost chuckled. I'm not sure if Minnis has a leadership style. I don't know if the last, what was that, 2.5 years from 2019 to, you know, the beginning of the pandemic to the end of the snap election period. I don't know if you could call that leadership. And I'm just not quite sure.
You need to explain why would you say such?
Well, because we were led by legislation. We were led by statute. Right? We weren't led by a person or a team of people and their considerations. We were led by statute. We were led by an emergency act. I don't think that's leadership. And then looking at how they operated within the statutes of the legislation, I certainly don't think that was leadership. Now, he may have been a decent manager of a corporate structure, right? He may still questionable. He may have been that, but leader of a country, I don't think so.
I have another text says the father of the nation topic needs to be investigated. If it was a relevant topic, the place where Sir Lyndon was born should have been identified, given the national significance it deserved. And we have been discussing that too. And I see we had a caller there, and producer patched the caller in shortly now. We are investigating what more should our government do. Does having the title of father of the nation constitute that more should be done? And what is the family doing to herald Sir Lyndon in terms of his legacy and solidify it in the minds and the hearts of the Bahamian people? But let me patch this caller through there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, see, what's going on, man?
Right here, man. How you doing?
Everything good, man. Listen, I think people need to realize the type of government we got, the system we had, which is the Westminster system. I think we all know that. And when these politicians come to us to campaign, they don't come to us to speak as an individual. They come to us to speak on behalf of the party. They come to us wearing the party colors. The party pays for their campaign. The party pays for their paraphernalia. Parties pay for everything. When you get elected on behalf of the party, not the individual. People vote for the party, not the individual. When you go to the cabinet, when the cabinet make a decision, the cabinet make a decision as the government, as the party. You see what I'm saying? So now when you get inside the house, you cannot take it upon yourself and you will speak as in. You started from day one campaigning. You started campaigning on behalf of the party. You see what I'm saying?
I get it. And when you finish it, we'll have Aaron and I respond to it.
And when you speak other terms of the party, you speak another line. Because that is what you was elected on. You wasn't elected as an independent. You was elected as a PLP or an FNM or who, a COI or a DNA, whoever. You was elected to carry on behalf of that party ticket. And my opinion, when you speak other terms, just like Minnis did with those four, just like Ingram did with Ken Russell, and just like Pillen did with Ingram and Christie, you have to go or you should resign or you should be fired. Now, if you want to speak as an individual, then you need to run as an individual.
Okay, and thank you very much, caller. I appreciate that. And caller, I remind the caller as when the member of parliament for Fox Hill gets up to speak in the House of Assembly, he starts off, "I rise to represent the people of the great constituency of Fox Hill." He's speaking on behalf of me, right? So I understand that he might run on the ticket, but it's my vote that put him in. And he has a duty. That's why they have constituency meetings, so I can say what I have concerns about and that he can bring that concerns back to the House of Assembly.
Our caller, the first caller of the day, would tell us right now, y'all keep forgetting that the Constitution is paramount, right? There is this principle called the separation of powers. There's the judicial arm of government, there's the executive arm of government, and there's the legislature, right? That's the House of Parliament. Three separate and equal arms of government. When you are in the executive, that's a separate arm from when you're in the legislature, which is the House of Assembly, and when you're an MP. One of the questions I asked prior to the snap election, invited MPs, candidates, incumbents on my show to discuss, is how will you balance your obligation to party, to the cabinet, to your constituents, to the Constitution, to the people of the Bahamas? They didn't show up, Cecil. And I realize now that they didn't show up because they didn't want to have to think about that answer, because they have people thoroughly convinced that their only obligation is to the party.
Mm-hmm.
That MP has to figure out how they are going to balance their very real obligation to the party with their very real obligation to the people who elected them.
And Aaron, I will quick to say that I think that we have bastardized our Westminster system. This is why we have backbenchers. Backbenchers, mm-hmm. by our constitution and by the system, criticizes the government all the time. They speak out against the government all the time.
The government is using my taxpayer dollars to ensure that there is no backbench. So they fill up cabinet to ensure that nobody within their party could oppose them. And they're using my taxpayer dollars to do it.
Interesting. But I have another caller here, Aaron. Producer, patch that caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning.
Yeah, of course, you know, but you say who would be the strongest for me at the age of 58? But, you know, I like Pink, you know, even though I never voted PLP, because how he made me feel as a young man. But then, you know, he was not perfect, and there's, you know, I guess everybody'd be stuporized by power, but I would have to say it would be a Stern, it would have to be Mr. Ingram, for standing up to him and disengaging from the PLP, even though Ingram failed subsequently. You know, and this, the way how the Westminster system is set up, looking at this here, the Prime Minister must keep the Governor General fully informed on matters related to governing of Bahamas and must provide him or her with any information about the government if he or she asks. The Governor General follows the instructions of the Cabinet. So then what I'm saying is, with this type of system, I know you're talking about the backbencher system, and CNU is correct. So what then is the country's whole captive by the Cabinet ministers and the totalized power by the PM, hence the need for a republic, because this cannot continue, because then if Ms. Hannah Martin is speaking on behalf of the public, then what you're saying, in other words, the slaves on the plantation are willing to continue this type of model. And so I listened to Palm one day, and she had said, it's basically not, there are some intricate details that are dissimilar with the Westminster system, but it can't be that the cabinet can hold the whole country hostage. That can't be freedom. We were never free. You know what I mean? To tell you the truth, we were never free. Bless her.
Thank you very much. Aaron, we have one more caller here, and I want to ask you, I see the caller spoke about Glenys Hannah Martin and her position, right? Glenys Hannah Martin says that she still disagrees with the RCI deal, and she states that it's not good for the Bahamas, right? And she preempted that by saying that this statement might get her into some issues with her party, but she is standing on what she believed, that this is not good for the Bahamas. And my question is, if she can see it's not good for the Bahamas, what does that say about her other cabinet ministers who has, because I assume they all voted, I only can assume, because we don't know what happened in the executive, right, in cabinet, who all voted for what, right? Mm-hmm. But having a Chester Cooper announcing that cabinet has approved this and we're going to go for this, and then having a Glenys Hannah Martin going completely contrary and say this is not good for the Bahamas, suggesting that other people are willing to facilitate something that is not good for the Bahamas, and just loose words, right? Loose words.
Mm-hmm.
that contrast, that blatant contrast of direction of Bahamas, what does that say about the future leadership of the PLP? Should we be concerned? Is this a declaration of Glenys Hannah-Martin on how, if she becomes leader, if she challenges for leadership, that how she views what our party should be about? And again, Chester being the deputy leader, and they using the slash Davis Cooper leadership, suggesting that he may be automatically the next de facto leader of the party. That Hannah-Martin's view of the party is completely contrary to Chester Cooper's view of the party. Should we entertain that, and should we analyze that in terms of leadership style?
Well, we have to entertain it. We have to analyze it because, unfortunately, our bastardized version of the Westminster system leaves us prey to whoever the leadership is within this party. Like, we, the people who have to live under the rule of these parties when they become the administration, have no say in their internal workings. Yes, we should be wary. Yes, we should be constantly analyzing. And if we have no say, at the very least, we can agitate and insist on engagement and public dialogue about these matters.
Yes. And one thing I'm analyzing and thinking of the last caller who said that we voted for a particular party, right? I note that when a PLP or FNM MP is elected, they usually paint over their political party colors and say they are for the whole constituency, right? They make efforts to party men, but they are constituency men, represent everyone, FNM, PLP, the like. And they go ahead.
There are heavy suggestions that they should do that, but I don't really see that happening often. And I think that's a part of the problem. It's the parties themselves that are perpetuating this culture. I remember when Loretta Butler was first elected in, I think what we were called, I think we were St. Anne's then. Mm-hmm. When she was elected, she invited me to a voice constituency meeting. And the flyer had FNM constituency meeting on it. Look, I almost get run out of my own school. I almost get run out of my own high school, buddy, because I dared to challenge, why would my constituency meeting paraphernalia have FNM on it?
Mm-hmm. Aaron, I have another caller here. Let me pass the caller through. Producer, pass the caller up there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller again once. Caller again twice. Producer, go to the next caller for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, CA, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. Good morning.
Listen, very interesting conversation here. Just like the piggyback on something that you said that was so profound, and that is, you know, when these MPs cannot separate party from their constitutional duty to do the work of the constituent, that's where the issue then comes in. I think often we have to remind these MPs and our prime minister that they're in our parliament to do the work of the people, regardless of whether those persons or constituents voted for them or not. You know, I think for far too long we played this partisan politics, whereas the people who voted for you, you take care of them. But the persons who did not vote for you, you neglect them. And I think ourselves to understand that all of us, it takes all of us collectively who are responsible for building this country instead of just I don't want to use the phrase or the word sycophant, but to use persons who are all for the particular political party that's in governance, that they get all the benefits or they get most of the benefits, while the ordinary taxpayer, who also is doing his fair share, seems to get little to nothing, no support in just about anything. I think we need to change that paradigm. And my closing statement is simply this. Many of the MPs, there's only one MP I could remember within recent times, and that would have been the late Charles Maynard, who actually stood on his feet in Parliament and said, on behalf of my constituents, I table these things. It is very rare to hear parliamentarians in Parliament speak to to the mayor fact that their constituents sent them to the House to present certain things. That is also what we would like to see in terms of representation, that our MPs are there to represent their constituents and not their personal views or beliefs or whatever. So I just want to leave the public with that and hope that, you know, forward, upward, onward, and together as a people, we will continue to build this country for the betterment of generations to come. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Pleasure. Erin, maximum leader. Some people label Ingram, former Prime Minister Ingram, and former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis as a maximum leader, right? Who did not take opposition, who did not take consultation, who did not consider other people's thoughts. What'd you say about that?
So when you get Big Brother back and you say and do anything, I think this is going to be one of the most important and most contentious conversation, Mamas, right? I think about the name that you haven't called at all. And I think about Christie. And I wonder if swimming in my own vomit to go back to the PLP may have been the most courageous political decision in the history of the modern Bahamas. But would we ever perceive Christie in that space with that decision as the maximum leader? Was Christie and Pendling, were they able to withstand that which Ingram could not or did not withstand?
I want to also remind persons, when Andre Rollins was fired from his chairmanship for whatever that was, it was under Perry Christie administration. It was the deputy prime minister, who was the acting prime minister at the time, a Brave Davis, who actually told him, you know what to do, and fire him. Right? I just wonder, people might say they don't have no record of a Davis firing people, but that was one indication of that too. But I have a... go ahead, Erin.
I was just going to say quickly, in terms of leadership, if I were a party to... Who fired Renwood Wells first? PLP fired him and he went to the FNM, right?
Yeah, there you go.
If I were a PLP that fired Renwood Wells, I would not let the House of Parliament operate until the FNM spoke to why they would pick up an MP that was fired.
Another flaw of Minnis. Go ahead.
Yeah, go on. You go on.
No, I said that was another flaw of Minnis. I just want to make sure I agree with you as you speak. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but you know, that's just it. Like, why wouldn't you have declared PLP? Why wouldn't you have demanded that the FNM explains you would have picked up an MP that was fired without declaring why they were fired and exactly why you were willing to pick them up?
Okay, I have another two callers there. Producer Pasha caller there too. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Erin, how you doing, Lister?
Morning.
But all I can tell you, Mr. Nuri and Erin, nothing to change in this country until we get away to them people who don't say, oh, God, and grace. And I call them the Moses School. Nothing to change. We all can suffer until the educated Bahamian people make a stand. They said who've been to college and universities, who are not analog, who are digital, who are smartphone savvy, who love the Bahamas, who love the Bahamian people. We need to get away to swearing islands to the Queen, her heirs, and successors. See, I'm part of the team, it's all love us, Erin. They don't like you, Mr. Nui. They don't like your children. My children can't afford to buy land in this beautiful country, with the island where they're born. But the devil's got an opportunity to fix many wrongs in this country. If people are land holding on back, that's number one. Let us stop discriminating against us, the real behemoths. We cannot go in the casino and gamble. We can't even go to COP and get a license hand gun to protect our businesses and our family. All this crime going on. We can't protect ourselves. Man, again, not the change, like 52 say, until we get rid of all the more people, man. And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. We have another caller there, producer, Pastor, caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Go ahead. You're breaking up, caller.
Let's get out. In the switch, I see in both for...
Caller, you kind of gobbled. Can you call me back on the next line? Because I hear what you're saying, but I can't understand it. Call me back on the next line so we can hear you.
I can barely hear it.
So call me back on the next line, and then so we can hear what you're saying. Yes, I have a text here that says, good morning. The fact that Westminster is under the monarchy, which is controlled by one ruler at the head, we were never under a true for the people, by the people government. It's sad that the people can't see this. And one must understand that the system that the British has, the Westminster system, came out of putting the royal family into check. Right? I think that's Magna Carta. Correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron. But their system is based on an honor system. Their Westminster system works. It has checks and balances, right? So the idea, I think that this criticism of the Westminster system is uncalled for because it actually works. And it puts everyone into check and balance, from even the Prime Minister.
The Westminster system may work. What we're practicing here is a bastardized version.
That's a people's problem, though, Aaron. That's a people's problem. I find a number of behemoths complaining that, oh, the parties are corrupt, but there's no party is alive. It's the people who is managing these systems that is not doing their job properly. So the system isn't bastardized; it's we bastardizing the system.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, in fact, yes. We could just delve in a little deeper. Mm-hmm. We have been importing party policy, right? And replacing government convention with party policy. Let's start right at the top. We talk about a bastardized Westminster system. How many times in these two shows this morning have you referred to Chester Cooper as the Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas? Mm-hmm. We don't have one. We have a deputy leader of our parties, and we've imported that deputy leadership to governance in an to put this. I gotta make this boy think. I gotta make this boy think. We good. We tight. I gotta show him deference or honor for what he has contributed to the party to achieve this level. I say you just can't call him leader of the party. He gotta be deputy prime minister. You gotta get a car. You got to get an office with whose money, with whose constitution.
Let me beat you with
this. You're absolutely right. The people have allowed the Westminster system to be bastardized by allowing the importation of party politics into governance policy and parliamentary policy, executive policy.
After the caller, Aaron, we're going to put the caller through, but I want you to answer this. I want you to answer this. They label this administration as the Davis-Cooper administration. Is Chester Cooper, well, will Chester Cooper be automatically declared the next leader of the Progressive Liberal Party? Or should someone like a Glenys Hannah-Martin, who has proven that she has a different outlook on how what the party should be concentrating on, should she have a chance to challenge for leadership? Or is it an automatic thing for Chester Cooper? And I want you to comment on that. But let me go to the caller first.
Call before I start talking.
Yes, I know. That's why let me go to the caller first. And I can let you run out on that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm sorry for calling again. But I see you irked me with the mention of the Magna Carta, the great letter, right? Mm-hmm. So if we was to read the literature, I don't know if you ever saw it. But remember, so in that, they had laws in order to control the power of the king. So he was not willing to adhere to their own laws that they had made. So that even the Magna Carta is ahead of us today. Just go and read it one of these days on the air for everybody to hear. Bless up.
Thanks, F52. But go ahead, Aaron. Is it an automatic thing since it's a Davis Cooper led government? And is there any space for
They would like us to believe that it's an automatic thing, right? The Constitution actually says the MP that holds the confidence of the majority of MPs, right, gets to be the prime minister. These guys are trying to convince us, right, that it's the leader of the party. It's the leader of the party, and it's the boy next to him. They get prime minister and deputy prime minister.
But then Sir Lyndon Dub, two deputy prime ministers, could be one of these two?
Say?
Didn't Sir Lyndon Dub, two lead deputy prime ministers and said the next leader of the PLP would be one out of these two, a Perry Christie versus.
But this is go ahead. This is exactly what I'm saying. There's a importation of party politics into governance. Yeah, he did that. That may have been the beginning of the bastardization of the Westminster system. but further to that, right? If they insist that this is how politics operate, right? then the rules of the game have to change. You can't turn around to me and say, oh, this is private internal party affairs, right? If you're going to tell me that a group, essentially a group of cabinet ministers, not even the party, not even, because right, because the party doesn't actually have any say. We only hear about the Davis Cooper administration, right? If you're going to tell me that that's the new rule or that's the new play, then we have access to your party. You will operate with true transparency. Because I get questions I want to ask about Cooper. How is it that Cooper just finished drinking his mother's milk and he think he could be the leader of a country?
What are you trying to say?
What's happening in Exuma? How did Cooper amass so much wealth in such a short time?
You're going too far.
As far as the Davis Cooper administration?
Look where you're going. No, Aaron, I want you to...
I think continually referring to a Davis Cooper administration is far.
This text says, good morning. Good morning, Aaron. It's to you. It shouldn't be automatic. Glennis should be the first female MPM. And I read that to ask you this question. Yeah. We saw when Loretta Turner tried to be leader of the FNM. What happened to her on that rally stage? We saw when Glennis Hannah Martin tried to be leader of the Progressive Liberal Party. We treat women a certain type of way. Is there space as we, Aaron and I, investigate the leadership styles of the various leadership political parties? Is there space for a female leader, or if Glenn to go for leader, she should expect to get cut behind?
I think at this time, there's a need for the right female leader. It's not just a matter of any old woman will do. That's not the type of feminism we're playing over here. Like, we taking any woman because it's our time now. I think that Glennis Hannah Martin may be, right, the woman to take the step. But it's the consideration is more than just Glennis. Glennis has to be able to become PM, she has to be supported by an internal political team and an external political team that is prepared to not defend her, to stand with her in their roles. It takes more. I think she is the one, but it takes more than just her. And I don't know if we, the collective, are ready.
When Glennis preempt her stance against RCI, she declared, this will more likely get me in trouble. She knew exactly what she was doing or what she was prepared. She's prepared to risk herself and risk her position, I assume, by saying, this might get me into trouble, right? But I don't agree. No matter how they tweak it and say they change it to make it appear to be different, I disagree. Right? And she gave a litany of why she disagreed and said this is not benefiting the Bahamas and Bahamians and put Bahamians first, et cetera, et cetera. Is this a sign of what type of leadership she would bring?
I mean, I think so, and I hope so. I think this is the first, I think it was a great expression of leadership, right? She attempted to state her position without throwing any other members of the party under the bus, including the prime minister. Right? And I think that was that's wonderful leadership. I think that she understood how recent, like, our memories are short, but they're not that short. There's plenty of things Bahamians done forget in the last 7 years, but that not that. And I think that she just decided that she has to stand on what she previously said.
I have a text here that says, I think all four of our former prime ministers and current one were maximum leaders. They just displayed their dictatorial personalities in different ways. Ingram Pinglin displayed their dictatorial leadership style outwardly, while more subtle with Christie and Davis. What do you think about that?
Ingram and Pinland
was more
Christie
outward,
and Davis.
And then Christie and Davis is more subtle.
I think so. I was just making sure that I didn't forget. I didn't leave out Minnis. I'm glad it
So what would Minnis be? Because say the person didn't include Minnis inside that. Include him being dictatorial, but they didn't include him on which style he would be.
I don't know. Let me declare. I am still emotionally caught up in this, and I'm not sure if my critique will be balanced. I think Minnis was horrible. I think from you get up and you talk about you're going to have to breach the Constitution to be able to manage the country properly.
My Lord.
Even if you said we may have to breach the country properly, you remove yourself from the list. We can't. But I'm emotional. You may even call it hysterical. I wouldn't get upset. So I can reserve that official commentary.
Mm-hmm. This one is more propaganda type text. It's like, CA, guess what? Even if the PM fires of Mrs. Glenys Hannah-Martin, we who live in Eggleston will vote her back in as an independent. We love her dearly from the Key West Street family. But I guess Key West Street saying there's a Glenys woman, right?
Why you call it propaganda, Nuri?
I believe there's political mischief. We analyze some leadership style, but I think they're trying to put discord in the PLP. There's no discord in the PLP. What's the bait here? Glenys Hannah-Martin knows her place.
Yeah, see, because I waiting to see Hannah-Martin PLP. I think that, you know, while we were questioning the integrity of the Westminster system, I want to question the integrity of the PLP. I may vote PLP if it's PLP.
Well, definitely moving forward. If a Chester Cooper decides to lead the helm, they would have to bring a Glenys Hannah-Martin as a deputy leader to solidify the PLP base. But now the question is, would a Glenys Hannah-Martin, would seemingly a different political style and different direction of where the party should go, which is more earthy, more communal, right?
You think anybody who insists on calling it the Davis-Cooper administration, and I got significantly, forget the political dynasty, right? Forget what my father would have done. But what I have done on my own, you think you're going to jump in and in the first 5 minutes start talking about the Davis-Cooper administration and then I'm going to be fine to work with you? I think that sometimes we forget. Gang culture permeates this place. We talk about the bastardization of the Westminster system. I argue to you that our entire political system and system of governance has been consumed by a gang culture. And that right there, my friend, that's gang culture.
Aaron,
it can't happen.
I just got the flyer for the 50th. No, by the independent 50th secretary, and they're saying happy birthday to Sir Lyndon, right? And I say, right. Sir Lyndon Pinland, father of the nation, in quotes, right? They have his date, birth, and his death date. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4 stages of his age. And I'm thinking, who did they contact to use these images?
Yeah.
You know, did they just say, man, that these good pictures of Sir Lyndon, I plan to use it because he's the father of the nation and I have the right to it? Or did they contact the photographer and say, man, we can pay you $120 to use these pictures? Or did they contact the family and say, hey, we're using images of Sir Lyndon and I know you have a foundation and the foundation have right to it. So let me give you a donation of the $20 there. But did they have a right to use all of these images of Sir Lyndon without paying somebody? Especially when we have copyright. Go ahead.
From the flyers, is there an indicator that they partnered with the foundation for this particular event?
No. Yeah. No indication at all. And this is why we ask these tough questions, you know, and we try to be analytical in our approach to doing things. And that's why I appreciate you. But it's 12 o'clock now. News is next. And after that is Howard Grant. This has been Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri and Aaron Green.
and we were analyzing political leadership styles and moving forward and comparing and doing a contrast. Anyway, have a good, a wonderful day, and have a wonderful day.